الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، the discussion, this particular sermon was about the reality of happiness. Since many people have a misconception when it comes to defining happiness, what is true happiness? حقيقة السعادة. The Shaykh began the khutbah by saying, happiness is the desire of every intelligent person, and it's the hope for all those who are above. It is the wish of the weak, and people have a huge misunderstanding about the essence and the reality of happiness and the means to acquire it. So among them are those, for example, who suffer poverty and lack of wealth, they perceive happiness in having money with the rich people. And those who suffer from hunger and diseases, they see and perceive happiness as having a healthy body and functioning organs. And the one who's weak and is unable to acquire his basic rights, he sees happiness as being in authority and being able to acquire these rights. And whoever's been suffering transgression, following desires, wickedness, then he finds happiness when these pleasures come to him without any effort he makes, and he's able to enjoy himself in that which Allah has made forbidden. The people searching for truth are abundant today, for happiness are abundant today, but most of them have gone astray away from the straight path. So they collected wealth and they lived in trials and tribulations and following desires, and still they suffer from major discontentment and major depression. And this is because they had made the wrong choices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "So do not be amazed by their wealth nor their children. Verily Allah only wills to torture them with these things in this life, in this worldly life, and that their souls shall depart from their bodies while they are disbelievers." Yani, look at the non-Muslims, and you may find that some of them have a lot of wealth and a lot of children, and you may be amazed or you may admire some of that. And Allah said in the Prophet ﷺ and his ummah, of course, do not be amazed or astonished, or do not admire their wealth and their children. Verily Allah wants to torture them with the same things, and that Allah wills that they shall die in a state of disbelief. Happiness is not something that you can see with your eye. It is not something that you can count with figures. It is not something that can be contained in closets. And it is not something that you can purchase with currencies. Happiness generates from the heart. Its physical appearance is satisfaction, contentment. And the evidence for it is one being able to acquire Allah's blessing and be grateful to Him. Happiness is tranquility within oneself. Having a peace of mind in one's heart and having one's chest open to the truth, so you have a peace of mind. Slaves of Allah, no one will be able to fill himself with satisfaction except when he returns to Allah at the times of calamities, and that he throws himself before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Life is full of complications, and all of you can attest to that one. Life is full of complications, daily complications. In fact, every day is another manifestation of hardship and complications. And life without religion, guys, life without religion is nothing but social problems and mental problems. So the people who lack religious commitment, whenever they deal with these problems, they go and try to take painkillers and different medications, try to reduce the effect of the problems they're facing. And others go to either even a worse extreme, which is that of drugs and intoxicants, in an effort to decrease their problems. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already given us the treatment, but little are those who apply it. And that is a famous ayah which I'm sure all of you have heard at least a few times in your lives. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Whosoever turns away from my dhikr, and as the ulama mentioned, dhikr is everything in Islam. Because dhikr comes from yudhakkir, yatadhakkar, to remind you. And Islam is a reminder of that which we were born upon. The natural disposition of belief in Allah, obedience to Allah, love of Allah. This is something that we were created upon. It's by default. And everything in Islam reminds you of that which you're supposed to be upon. If you were to be born on an island, you wouldn't be worshipping the sun or the moon. You'll be worshipping the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the fitrah. This is the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever turns away from the dhikr, Quran and the sunnah, then Allah guaranteed, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. He shall without a doubt inevitably lead a miserable life. He will have a miserable, constricted, difficult life. This is in the dunya. But the ayah continues, وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And we will resurrect him, we will gather him with the rest of the people on the day of judgment blind. And the Shaykh didn't quote the rest of the ayat. قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. And the continuation of the ayat is, he will say on the day of judgment, my Lord, my Master, why am I blind today, even though I used to have vision in the dunya? And Allah will say, such our ayat, our reminders, our proofs, our evidences, the miraculous ayat of Allah, like the Quran, came to you and you forgot about them. And equally today you will be forgotten. Meaning Allah Azza wa Jal will not care. As they said, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ عُدْنَا فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ قَالَ اقْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. The people of the fire will say, oh our Lord, take us out. Take us out. And if we ever return to our old ways, really we are wrongdoers. And the answer comes to them, اخسأوا فيها, remain therein and do not speak to me. That's the answer of Allah for the people of Jahannam. Not that Allah will forget them as in He won't know where they are. It's just that Allah would not care what's happening to them. And that is worse. That is a calamity. When the most merciful, Al-Ghafoor Al-Wadood, when it reaches the point that Allah doesn't care about the slave, no one can do anything for this person afterwards. His case is decided. So we need to be very careful, brothers, when we turn away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the dhikr, the Quran and the sunnah. And many of us know the wrong things that we are doing, and we know that we can change, but we don't change. And we don't make an effort. And we hear the reminders week after week, and we continue following our ways and our choices and our desires, even though we know they are contrary to the Quran and the sunnah, then we wonder why we suffer in this dunya. This is only the beginning. The Shaykh said, so the believer is, the believer feels the ultimate sense of happiness when he realizes and internalizes in his life the fact that everything that happens is by Allah's decree. So he's not saddened over whatever is gone, and he's not too joyous and too happy with that which comes to him. He does not surrender, and he does not despair, and he does not kill himself out of regret over something. Rather, he knows that all of the affairs of the dunya are a form of test, whether they are good or bad. And any time a calamity befalls him, his iman, his yaqeen, his certainty will keep him firm. at the time of difficulties. So he will be among those who have tranquility and he does not panic. The believer owns happiness and comfort, which is an acquirement or is a byproduct of reliance upon Allah and hard effort. So he's never moved away from that. So the Shaykh said, the happiness is in the masjid, and the happiness is in the Quran, and the happiness is in the Sunnah, and the happiness is in the remembrance of Allah, and the happiness is in uprightness and obedience. To be upright, to be righteous. These are the true happy people. Today they call them mutawwi'. Back then, anyone who was doing good stuff, he was labeled among those who were happy. And now we have new definitions and new criteria, bearded or not bearded, and a lot of things have, you know, mixed into each other. And the truth of the matter is, the true happy person is the one who does everything in the Sunnah. And the more we abandon of the Sunnah, the less happy we are. Yes, Islam deals with the way you look inside and the way you look outside and the way you dress and the way you speak and the way you deal with the people. Islam didn't leave anything up to us to figure out on our own, unless it's the matters of the dunya. As for the matters of the deen, the commandments of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not an option. And the more we abandon of them, the less happy and satisfied we will be. The more you apply them, the happier you will be. This is the formula for success. Even though we know it, somehow we suffer in implementation. We ask Allah to change our affairs. So the Shaykh will enumerate some means. What are some of the most important means to acquire happiness? First and foremost, al-Iman, true faith accompanied with righteous deeds. You cannot make them independent of one another. If you truly believe, then you will obey Allah. And then you cannot do good deeds if you don't believe in Allah, because your good deeds, like those of the Hindus and the Christians, will be in vain. So correct Iman along with righteous deeds. Now Allah says concerning that in the Quran, whosoever does righteousness, min dhakarin aw untha, whether male or female, on the condition that وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and he is a believer, فَلَنَحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Now, linguistically, this is amazing. The fa, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ, the fa is, as the ulama call it, fa'u السَّبَبِيَّة, meaning it's because of A, B, C, then you will get that. It's like a conditional. So if you do Iman, if you have Iman and you do righteous deeds, so the result is fa. لَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ. Now another suitable Arabic word is لَنُحْيَهُ أَوْ نُحْيَهُ. فَنُحْيَهُ. But Allah said فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ. This is because the lam in that word and the noon at the end, both of them are for emphasis, for hyperbole. Meaning this is a guarantee upon a guarantee, a promise upon a promise. Meaning for sure, without a doubt, 100% he will lead a good life. If these extra letters were omitted, the meaning would remain the same, but it would not be as strong. With the addition, there's now, it's being multiplied. The meaning and the promise is being multiplied. Subhanallah al-Azim. This is in the dunya. وَلَنَزِّيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. As for the life to come, then we will reward them according to the best of their deeds. Alhamdulillah. And their bad deeds, inshallah, will be forgiven by Allah. The Iman then, and the righteous deeds is one of the means which will bring about Allah's happiness. And it will bring Allah's happiness with you, and your happiness with Allah, and then your happiness in this life. The second means is continuously and often remembering Allah Azza wa Jal in all affairs. And Allah says in the Quran, those who believe and their hearts find tranquility in the remembrance of Allah, is it not in the remembrance of Allah that hearts find tranquility? And the answer is of course. So remembering Allah Azza wa Jal often. Thirdly, talabul ilm, seeking or the acquisition of knowledge. Acquisition of knowledge. The Shaykh said, the knowledge is means of raising the person. above the level of ignorance and the ignorant. So the most ignorant people are those who have the most complicated life. And the most knowledgeable people are those who live a happy life. Why? Because of the knowledge. And just to give you a classic, a practical example. In the Khutbah al-Jum'ah, Muslims are divided into ignorant and knowledgeable. While I'm listening to the Khutbah, I can hear in the back someone using the Sabha. The Imam is given Khutbah, and someone is remembering Allah, or I don't know what. Let's say he's not remembering Allah, he's just playing with the Sabha, the chains, the bead chains. This is ignorance in the deen. Ma'lish. And if we're ignorant, we learn. Ya akhi, you're supposed to listen to the Imam during Jumu'ah. And you're supposed to even look at him if you want to be closer to the Sunnah and get more reward. How can someone be engaged in remembering of Allah, even though remembering Allah is good, during this situation? This is incorrect. Other people drink water while the Imam is giving khutbah. I've seen this many times. Some children run around and play during the khutbah. Some people play with their socks. And some people play, crack their knuckles and their toes and their fingers. And everyone gets engaged in all kinds of things. But this will take out from the reward of Jumu'ah. It will take out from the benefit. Even if you don't understand Arabic, the level of concentration is decreased. The reward associated with concentrating is gone. And then we will not be as happy as someone who is paying attention to the Imam, even if he doesn't understand. Knowledge. With knowledge, we're able to get to our final destination. We have a light, it's like a flashlight. And you're able to see in front of you. And not only you see in front of you, you provide light for those who don't have any. But when we don't have any light, we don't have any knowledge, we will crash into walls, we will stumble upon things. We won't make it to the destination safely. So learning. And the Shaykh gave some examples which he didn't mention here. That some people, mashallah, he's a professor and he's a doctor and the worldly knowledge, he's like the biggest shot. But he doesn't know how to perform wudu. He doesn't know how to do salah. He doesn't know the most basics of the deen. They know all knowledge concerning the dunya and absolutely no knowledge concerning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should also be fair. In fact, we should spend most of our time learning the deen, and whatever is left is for the dunya. Not the other way around. But how often do we learn? How many classes have we brothers been attending? Forget about khutbah translation. Assume this stops. What are the alternatives for knowing more about the deen? And how much time is dedicated for that? You will find that some of us may have zero time. Alhamdulillah, I'm sure many brothers are doing good and learning. But we still have a large group that doesn't care. And that's unacceptable. If you want to be happy, then upon you is knowledge and the acquisition of knowledge. The third means to attain happiness is by seeking halal wealth along with satisfaction. Al-qana'ah is the difficult word to translate into English because you need a sentence. So I'm going to explain. Qana'ah is being convinced with what Allah gave you. Meaning you don't seek anything more. You're satisfied, you're content with what Allah gave you. You accept the decree of Allah. This is qana'ah, this is just, you get the general meaning. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, whosoever wakes up in the morning while he is safe in his home, he is sound in his body, and he has the food for that day, then verily he has woken up as if the whole dunya is at his feet. If you wake up in the morning, you have a place to sleep, you are sound physically, and you have enough food for that day, then it is as if the whole dunya is right there before your feet. Now, what do we say about our condition today? MashaAllah. We don't have, you know, one place, maybe a couple of residences. Right? And MashaAllah, healthy and working out. And not just food for a day, food for 3 weeks. Which one of us goes to Danube and he says, I'm going to buy food for today, then tomorrow I will go again for tomorrow. We go for a month shopping. Refrigerator doesn't fit. Maybe someone will knock on the neighbor, can you put these bananas for you please? My fridge is stuffed. And we still complain, you know, this and that. Allah musta'an, this is our condition. I'm speaking about all of us, beginning with myself. Allah musta'an. A man came to another brother of his, complaining about poverty. He told him, you have a wife? He said, yes. He said, you have a place to stay? Do you have a house? He said, yes. He said, you are the most rich of those who are rich. So the man said to him, and I also have a servant. He said, then you are a king among the kings. You know, that if you have a house and a wife and someone working for you, what else do you want from the dunya? You're a king among the kings. So this was his understanding of contentment with Allah's decree. Fourthly, applying or carrying out the divine commandments. Everything Allah Azza wa Jal commanded and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, putting that into practice will bring about happiness. And on the top of the list is as-salah. Salah. This poor salah. Miskina wallah salah. Miskina salah between the Muslims today. Yani we continue until today, just before the Imam comes, three rows in the masjid. And that back row where everybody loves to, you know, rest their back. Even if they come early, and sometimes there's a spot in the front, they still sit in the back. This is the most amazing thing in the world, but it happens every week. And we've said before, Ya Jama'at al-Khair, this is the row of the blessed. This is the row of the reward. This is not like the second, and not like the third, not like the fourth. Look, count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rows. For this little piece of canopy, bring your own chair, ya akhi. They sell it at Bin Dawood maybe for 10 riyals. You open it and you can rest your own back and sit in the front. Second row at least, if you missed the first. Don't go sit on there in order to rest. You're not here to rest in Salatul Jum'ah. You want to rest, you rest at home. From Fajr until Dhuhr, where you came 15 minutes before the Salah, what were you doing? You were resting. I'm sure you were not, you know, working hard at home. And we come to the Salah, we want to rest some more. Missing out on the reward. On the Day of Judgment, someone will say, La ilaha illallah. How could I miss all these Jum'ah in my life? You may find yourself in the lowest part of Jannah, and somebody who used to come with you, your neighbor, same deeds as you, both of you came in Salah on the same time or around the same time, he's way ahead of you up there in Firdaus. He's having 20 million times the fun you're having because of a few steps in a few 15, 20 minutes. And this is besides, forget about the first row. It is inconceivable how Jum'ah begins at 12:30 and still the majority of the people come way after the Imam or just before the Imam. Come early to the Salah. Not only Jumu'ah, every Salah. Every Salah. Try to be in the Masjid at Adhan time. Wallah, you got nothing to lose. This is the dunya. You're going to go to the Salah anyways. Defeat Shaitan. Defeat him in his own game. Defeat him time after time. Even if you have friends who try to stop you, ignore them. When the Salah time comes, don't know anyone. Aisha radiallahu anha said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would be sitting having a conversation with us. When the time of Salah comes, لا يعرفنا ولا نعرفه. As if he doesn't know us and we don't know him. Salah time comes, he's out. Don't even talk to me. Some people say, brother, slow down brother. Madir, listafi. And you find him every time he's praying all the way back there. Yeah, Sheikh, you're trying to take me back with you. If you have a problem, be quiet. You try to find someone trying to hasten to Salah, no, they'll bring you back with it. Ya akhi, take it easy. The deen is easy. Yes, it is easy. It's easy to come to Salah early. Another reminder. When I'm speaking, how can someone pray Sunnah? Wallah, that's difficult. Concentration is part of the Salah. This is based on the Shaykh's statement, Salah. Finding satisfaction in the Salah. You know, distraction is not allowed. And the Prophet ﷺ came out among the Sahaba and he saw some of them raising their voices in the Quran recitation. He stopped them. He said, "You, each one of you is calling on his Lord. Do not disturb other Muslims by raising their voice." Right. It would be nice if I waited 10 minutes for everyone to pray the Sunan, then to do the khutbah translation. But you know what? Most people will be gone. So then the ulama say, it is okay for you to initiate something like a talk after Salah in order to gain the people before they leave. On the other hand, work with me. What's the big deal? Why rushing for this, you know, sunnah? We want to get it out of the way. Is this what it is? You know, just get out of the way so I can listen. La ya akhi, listen to the khutbah translation, then pray and go home. Even though the sunnah is to pray at home. Yani why? I'm looking, half of the people are standing and only four people are looking at me, and I feel like I'm distracting everyone else. Patience, ya sabr. Listen to this half an hour and pray 20 million rak'at. But this half hour, relax. So I will not disturb you and feel guilty. And so you can focus on the salah. I cannot imagine how you're focusing on Fatiha while I'm speaking English over your head. It's inconceivable. But that means that the salah quality may be not very good. So we need to work. Salah. If the salah is good, everything else is good. And he quoted some of the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to say, and the pleasure of my eye, the satisfaction of my eye was made in the salah. He used to say to Bilal, arihna, bring us comfort. Make us comfortable with the salah. If anything that disturbed him sallallahu alaihi wasallam happened, he would be scared and he would run to do salah. He would run to Allah azza wa jal in the salah. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So the salah, let's work on it. 5 daily prayers, very easy. Once a week, Friday sermon. If we pray on time, in the jama'ah, early, wallahi, life will be wonderful. Life will be good and easy, bi'ithnillah azza wa jal. That's all we need to do. Everyone here is able to do that. So if we're not doing it, we're missing out on a lot of good. We ask Allah to change our condition and make us among those who listen to the reminder and follow the best of it. Sixthly, being consistent in the remembrance of Allah, supplication and seeking Allah's forgiveness. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, there is a Jannah in his dunya. Whoever does not enter it shall not enter the Jannah in the life to come. And that Jannah is finding satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enjoying the remembrance of Allah. Now which one of us felt that? When was the last time one of us remembered Allah and felt comfort and satisfaction and tranquility in his heart? Inshallah, most of us have done so. But this is an indication that you have entered the Jannah of the dunya. So inshallah you will enter the Jannah in the life to come. If we don't, of course this is not a prophetic teaching, but he's speaking about his understanding of the deen. Those who will enter Jannah among the first are those who had already known Allah Azza wa Jal in the dunya, unless Allah wills to forgive someone who was disobedient. In the second part of the khutbah, the Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, mentioned a few narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Among the means to acquire happiness is that someone is not the fact happiness is not associated with your bank account. It is not associated with your bank account. Being wealthy does not mean that you're happy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I had the equivalent of Uhud, the mountain of Uhud, in gold, I would be happy and satisfied that no 3 nights will pass by except that I had given the whole thing away, except something I keep for a debt to pay back. If he had the equivalent mountain of Uhud, if 3 nights went by before he spent it all in the cause of Allah, he would not find happiness unless he had done so, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So happiness is in spending in Allah's cause if one has been blessed with wealth. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to be unable to fill his stomach with ad-dugul, which is the cheapest kind of dates. Yani the lousiest kind of dates. He alayhi salam would not be able to fill his stomach with the worst kind, let alone of the sukkari and what sukkari and rutab and all these things you have today. The Shaykh said we have all kinds of dates today. He alayhi salam would not even fill his stomach with the worst kind of dates. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said the Al of Muhammad, the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did not fill their stomachs with bread for 2 days in a row. Bread. Today we have, you know, Lebanese bread and Tamiz and, you know, all different kinds of bread each people from different nationality eat. They would not eat bread for 2 days in a row. And another narration is that few months would go by and no fire will be kindled in the house of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indicating they were not cooking any food. Yet he was the happiest of people sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ummatul Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal has the ultimate wisdom in His creation and His arrangement of the affairs. He bestows His many favors upon some and He reduces upon others according to what Allah Azza wa Jal knows fit. So, the fact some people Allah knows that it is suitable for them to be rich because their richness is utilized in a manner pleasing to Allah. And some people Allah knows that if they were given money, they will go astray. So Allah keeps him in a state of poverty. Allah keeps him in a state of poverty. So Allah knows whom He gives and whom He refrains from giving. And He has the ultimate wisdom in that. He said in the Quran, Allah bestows His rizq, His provision, لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, to whomever He wills, وَيَقْدِرُ. Many people think yaqdir here comes from qudra. Here it means to restrict. Meaning He gives whomever He wills, وَيَقْدِرْ, يعني He decreases the sustenance upon others. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ, verily He is concerning everything, all-knowing. He knows who deserves and who should not be given. And this variation between the people in the dunya, some of them living in castles, riding fancy cars, he's just enjoying his wealth and his wife and his children, and another one is living, doesn't have a place to live, he doesn't have any wealth and he doesn't have any children or wives. And there's a huge gap between them. And this difference between them will be even greater on the Day of Judgment. انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا. Look how we favored some over others in the dunya, and very الآخرة, the life to come, أكبر درجات, it will be different, bigger in degrees and bigger in favoritism. Allah will favor this person over the other. One will be in Firdaus and one will be somewhere else. Just like in the dunya, someone is driving a car going to work and he's listening to music, and the other one is saying Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Both of them are in a car, maybe the same kind of car, maybe they're standing at the same traffic light. One Allah doesn't care for, one Allah has already sealed his heart, one his masir may be Jahannam, and another one is going straight to Jannah. Maybe they may look the same, same background, same age, same everything, but one Allah has occupied him with ibadah, and the other one is just entertaining himself with, you know, the old classical Beethoven. Says, Wallah akhi, I find tranquility, not in the Quran, in, you know, old classical music. It makes me relax and calm down. A'udhu billah. You find satisfaction with shaitan? What kind of satisfaction is this? It is a satanic satisfaction. It is. Yes, the shaitan will instill this feeling in that person's heart because it's already vacant. Already there's no room for it, for the remembrance of Allah and the Quran of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is something the scholars have elaborated on extensively. There's no point in repeating it now. So then, we should all strive then to be among those who will be higher in the life to come. Then he quoted a few narrations with which we will conclude this khutbah translation. May Allah reward you for your patience. The Prophet ﷺ said, look at those who are below you and do not look at those who are above you. This is more likely that you will not belittle the favor of Allah upon you. And the scholars say this is in the context of what? Dunya. In the deen, however, it's the other way around. Yeah, and if you're doing good, you don't say, well, I'm better than these. You say, no, look, there's this person better than me. So in the matters of the deen, you try to go with the higher. But in the dunya, don't say, wallah, he's richer. Say, I'm richer than him. Alhamdulillah. So you will not belittle Allah's favor upon you. Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, whoever seeks protection, Allah will protect him. And whoever seeks self-sufficiency, Allah will suffice him. And whosoever seeks patience, Allah will give him patience. And no one has been given any blessing greater than patience. Being patient in all situations. So the Shaykh said, this dunya, Allah gives it to those whom He loves and those whom He doesn't love. The dunya, Allah gives it to those whom He loves and those whom He doesn't love. But the deen, Allah only gives it to those whom He loves. If Allah gave you Islam, that's the first indication that there's some love for you. If Allah gave you over Islam implementation, then that's even better. And the higher, then the higher the love. The more you let Islam govern your life, the more Allah loves you. The more we are negligent about Allah's command, the lesser the love, and it may vanish. Some people, they continued to disregard Allah's commands until they left Islam altogether. Left Salah or died in the state of apostasy, wal-iyadu billah. Or they fell in love with some Mawlana in a grave and the rest of their life is worshipping a dead man and doing tawaf around this qabr, thinking that this is the way to Jannah. This is the sign that Allah did not wish goodness for them to begin with. How can someone worship a dead man? In our intellect. Forget about, we know the Quran and the Sunnah. In our intellect, how are you going to ask a dead man? If you ask a live man, he may not be able to help you. How about someone who passed away? Even the biggest sheikh, if your hand is broken, say, fix it for me. Is he going to fix it for you? He's alive. And he may be a wali from the awliya of Allah because of his righteousness. What about a dead man who they had to put him in the grave themselves, whom we don't know his condition down there? Is he enjoying himself? Is he being punished? Allahu alam. This is from the matter of the unseen. So, you know, we cannot take the deen of Allah lightly. We don't know what will happen afterwards. We need to stick to the deen and apply everything we hear in Islam to the best of our ability. Then he concluded by saying, woe to you from asking people. Don't ask people that which you have no right to ask for. The Prophet ﷺ said, a man will continue to beg people until he comes on the Day of Judgment without even a piece of flesh on his face. Continue to ask people for everything instead of depending on Allah Azza wa Jal. Another hadith, he said, whoever seeks people's wealth, just trying to increase his, only he doesn't need it, but he borrows money from this one and he borrows money from that one, only to have more wealth, then it is as if he is eating charcoal, burning coals actually in his stomach. So let him get more or let him get less. It's up to him. And the final narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, that's it. So the Shaykh, Hafizahullah, concluded the khutbah with dua for all of us. And just a quick addition, there's on YouTube and on DVD a lecture very similar to this particular topic, ironically, but more extensive, which by Allah's grace I have delivered. It's called Means of Survival. Means of Survival. And it's basically, the whole lecture is about how to attain happiness with more practical examples and longer elaborations, because time doesn't allow me to elaborate. But there are more things that were not mentioned in the khutbah that further fortify how to really practically get happiness in our lives and how to avoid things which will bring about misery. So if anyone is interested, you can go to Google, for example, and put Means of Survival and Abu Mus'ab or Wajdi or some of these keywords, and you'll be able to watch the whole lecture online, or I have it on DVD, and if anyone is interested, you can speak to me after the salah, inshallah, preferably outside the masjid. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.